A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 7th May 2024, Tuesday class. So as usual, we will gather and have our pre-puja offering. Okay, let us rejoice. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadhana, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo Amida Phật. Namo Amida Phật. Namo Amida Phật. Namo Bhusyam Bhusat. Namo Bhusyam Bhusat. Namo Bhusyam Bhusat. Namo Tisawa Bhusat. Namo Tisawa Bhusat. Namo Tisawa Bhusat. Namo Phật Bhusat. Namo Phật Bhusat. Namo Phật Bồ Tát. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivadimi Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supadipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sangham namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyam ki samhang saranang gacchami. Pangnan tipata veramani sikapadam samadhiyami. Adinam tantam veramani sikapadam samadhiyami. Ame sumichacharam. Veeramani sikapadam samadhiyami. Osavanta veeramani sikapadam samadhiyami. Sura veerayam machapamantana. Veeramani sikapadam samadhiyami. Okay, you all can be seated. Turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We shall continue our chanting from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarabha ditena dipena tamadang sinang diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayang vidamodang. Ganda sambhava yuktena
रूपेण
सुखं
सुखमिदं
विना पूजाये पूजनीयं तं पूजापचनमुत्तमं वन्दधन्तगुणोपेतं एतां कुसुमसन्तति पूजाय मे मोहितास श्रीपादसरोरुहे पूजे सुसोमेन पुण्येन मित्तेन च सुमोकम् मिलायति यथा इदा मे कायो तथा यतिना सभावम् आदिवासे तु नो भक्ते अन्यं परिकापितम् आनुकम्पाम् उपादाय पातिगन्तमोत्तमम् आदिवासे तु नो भन्ते पाले परिकापितम् आनुकम्पाम् उपादाय पातिगन्तमोत्तमम् आदिवासे तु नो भन्ते पूजा परिकापितम् अनुकम्पाम् उपादाय अतुमोत्तमम्. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance or offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance or offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance or offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance or offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana, of generosity, and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of all our aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they can balance our powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be fair and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to puja. Buddham pujami. Dhammam pujami. Sangham pujami. Okay, you can be seated as usual. We are off the line so that we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So remember, awareness-based meditation is to develop our inner awareness. So anyway, for those who may need instruction, I will read for you. Okay, this one is from this book path to Nibbana, where we did the Thursday class, the awareness-based meditation instruction dated 16 November 2023. Yeah? So you all pay attention, then it will help you. Awareness-based meditation. As usual, we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will turn off the light for you to proceed with your meditation. Just relax your body and mind and maintain some form of attention. So maintaining attention is very important. Attention means when you are attentive without thought, that is deep. So just relax body and mind. Relaxation of body and mind is the first, what they call support, for developing this awareness-based meditation. Then maintaining attention is maintaining awareness. So I read again. You just relax your body and mind and maintain some form of attention. Then we can commence our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Always remember, awareness-based meditation is to enable us to develop the inner awareness within. There are four supports to help develop this awareness-based meditation. First support is relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Just maintain a relaxed body and mind. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just relax and maintain awareness. Maintaining awareness is the second support. Then stabilizing the awareness is the third support. The last support is trust. This fourth or last support you only do after you have developed the ability to stabilize your mindfulness within. Otherwise, the first three support are good enough. That is relax, maintaining awareness, and stabilizing the awareness. When you can stabilize the awareness within, you will come to understand another aspect of mind which is beyond the thinking, beyond the thought process, which is just the pure awareness nature within. With that, great understanding and joy can arise within your nature. So we just silence our mind. Relax body and mind and maintain inner awareness. Just do that. No need to know or do anything. Because the knowing and the doing is always by the thought. So make your mind alert, attentive, and just aware. Just aware. Whatever arise, aware. Then finish off it. Do not allow it to continue. This pure awareness nature within needs to be realized and stabilized. After you can do that, your meditative mind, which is a tranquil and still mind without thought, will manifest. That is your true mind, your silent mind. That is the mind that can develop the wisdom, the insight to awaken you. Since this awareness-based meditation can help you realize the awareness nature within, we must therefore develop and stabilize it. Then make use of it to cultivate the meditative wisdom and understanding needed to liberate our mind. Realizing this inner awareness nature within is important. This is your primordial mind. Or your true mind. It existed before creation and is responsible for the arising of thought process and the mundane mind. So this true mind is the first entity to come out from our nature. We call it the pure awareness nature. To develop the meditative understanding, we need to return all thinking. We are just being aware to the pure awareness nature. Allowing the thinking to naturally slow down by itself, via just relaxing and maintaining awareness. That is, don't try to know or do. Then through the process, the thought loses its ability to move or proliferate further, thus becoming very quiet. Then you just continue to maintain awareness. Whatever arise, away. Whatever arise, away. And continue to maintain that silent inner awareness. Then the thinking mind or mundane mind that you have been using throughout the day will start to slow down. Slow down and slow down until they become very quiet and very still. Then you will experience the tranquility and stillness of mind, thereby realizing the silent mind. The first glimpse of it is already very wonderful and beautiful. When you can stabilize it, you become even more beautiful. After you can be with the pure awareness nature, you can understand a lot of things. Then inquire, without thought, who are you? What are you? And what is that nature all about? From then on, you will become very different. You will become more aware and more sensitive. That awareness nature makes you more sensitive, where you are just aware and no longer distracted by the thought process, the heedless thinking, the mental activities, and the mental state that arise. When all those mundane thinking or activity and stirring of the mind and emotion ceases, you will realize that true mind, which is so beautiful, it is so bright, luminous, tranquil and still, because it's just the pure awareness nature, the bright luminous nature which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That one can see things as they are, can awaken, can insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Okay, now I will set the alarm for 30 minutes for you to develop the awareness within so that you can train yourself in this awareness-based meditation. For those of you who have the ability to stabilize their inner awareness, they can just silence their mind completely and stay at the heart area. Stabilize your awareness nature further. They are cultivating the fourth support of trust. Trust your own awareness nature to develop the meditative movement while just silently observing with a silent mind to understand what is going on within your own form and mind, to understand how you function as a human being and understand clearly who you are and what you are. Developing all this understanding is what the awareness-based meditation is all about. Okay, I will now set the alarm so that you all can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Okay. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now we turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We shall do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the dainties or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives seven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakka mokkhadang. ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sama sambuddho vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanaṃ buddho bhagavati. Svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pacatam veditabo vinohiti. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasango. Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango. Samicipatipanno bhagavato savakasango. Yadidam chatari purisa yukani Ta purisa pugala esa bhagavato saukasango. Ahuneyo pahuneyo takeneyo anjali karaneyo anutarang punyang ketang lokasati. Sadhu sadhu. Okay, now we'll continue from where we stop. We are at page 566. The wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Now I will read to you from where we stop. Now again, you turn that most wondrous, unsurpassed great wheel of Dhamma. So this one is the Sutta part, the one in bold. Then the commentaries. Long ago, the Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths and the 12 links of Paticca-samuppada, or what we call the law of dependent origination. In the present assembly, he is about to teach this most wonderful lotus flower sutta again. So this is the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Hua Lian Hua Jing. So the commentary asks, what is it? It is the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, the king of all Dhamma. It is supreme. There is nothing superior to the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. In this sutra, the Buddha taught ultimate wisdom for seeking the provisional wisdom. Here the meaning is, initially at the Theravada tradition level, Sakyamuni Buddha actually shared and expounded the preliminary teaching or provisional teaching. And these provisional teachings are very important, like I always explain. It is like the base of Dhamma, the foundation. You need this base to move on. So like building a building, you need to have a good ground, a good foundation. So the foundation part is actually the preliminary teaching. And the essence of the Buddha's teaching is actually the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, and that we have gone through, eh? Because of his great enlightenment, his unique perfection and wisdom, virtue and perfection or cultivation. He was able to summarize all of his understanding into just Four Noble Truths. And these are not ordinary, unique, ultimate truth. They are noble truth because when you understand this noble truth, you become noble ones or enlightened ones. Noble ones in the time of the Buddha, he called them the Aryas. The Aryas are the noble ones. Aryas are the Pali translation. So these noble ones, they are beings that are very noble in all aspects of their life. They are very noble in their understanding of life because they understand this Four Noble Truths and its three turning. And this is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, that it can summarize to us all of life, both the mundane and super mundane. That's why I call it the secret of life. So you want to understand life, you want to understand how to develop the wisdom to live life, then you need to realize this Four Noble Truths or awaken to it. And once you awaken to it, you not only know the secret of life, you can understand life completely. Where it summarized to us all of life existence, both the mundane and super mundane. That is the uniqueness of it. Then when he turned it three times, the three types of corresponding wisdom can arise. The first turning is listening. During the time of the Buddha, what is available is just listening. But now our society and civilization has evolved. We are more fortunate. Apart from listening, we can also read about it, because there is writing now. Yeah. Then not only read about it, we can also have the technology to record them. In the past, there is no such thing as recorder. Then later on, our civilization progressed. Then we have a lot of these recorders. So the early days on our recruiter, like we have gone through the 50s, 60s, and the 70s, we only have cassette tape or tape recorder. Then, as we progress, we develop what we call video. Then, even the videos, later on, we develop digital form or the internet, advent of the internet, give rise to digital technology. So we now have all the earlier on was floppy disk, CD, and later on we now have pen drive. Then now we even have more sophisticated chips, computers and all these things. So not only hearing. Well, in the past, the first turning wisdom can only be developed through hearing, either directly from the Buddha himself when he arrives, or through somebody who understands his teaching. At that time, we need to rely on Ananda, Venerable Ananda, where he's very good in memorizing all these sutta, and he's gifted. So when you listen to the sutra or discourse of the Buddha, you can awaken. That wisdom is called Sutta Maya Panya, the first turning wisdom, after hearing the sutta from the Buddha. But nowadays, you can based on what is available, listen to it through all the sharing in the internet or in whatever documented form. Yeah? It can be books, e-books, or what we call all the recorded media. Yeah? Then, apart from reading, listening, we can also develop them through other means. So nowadays we have Dhamma sharing, Dhamma talk, or even Dhamma session, workshop. Sometimes they hold seminar or retreat. So all these are the heaven of new way of developing wisdom. So listening is the first. Then reading nowadays you can consider as personal wisdom. Then we move on to what we call contemplation, reflection, and inquiry. But there is also one time which is getting popular is Dhamma discussion, Dhamma sharing, where we can share and discuss all this topic through Q&A or inquiry, contemplation, reflection. So this one gives rise to second turning wisdom. If you reflect on it, contemplate on it, inquire into it, then you are able to stabilize the understanding or wisdom as taught by the Buddha under his discourse or proclamation of the Dhamma. Then you give rise to the second turning wisdom, which he called Chintamaya Panya. Then if you develop the meditative training, it gives rise to the third turning wisdom, which the Buddha called Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana is the meditative training, or we call it sati-based, awareness-based meditative training. So if you will cultivate the third turning wisdom, it is very penetrating. It will awaken you. Yeah. It will lead to awakening. Yeah. So this Four Noble Truths, Three Turning, the preliminary teaching is for you to develop the understanding of the teaching to awaken to what we call the sainthood way, leading all the way from Sotapannaship to Sakadagami, Anagami, and finally Arhantaship. So this is why the preliminary teaching is very extraordinary at that time. Yeah. But later on, as the sasana progress, the Buddha's teaching progress, then it starts to evolve. Then later on, the supreme vehicle teachings come about. That's why this wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta is a very unique supreme vehicle teaching. This one is the most complete and longest teaching that the Buddha shared regarding the supreme vehicle way, means how to cultivate the Bodhisattva way leading to the perfection of wisdom and perfection of all the paramitas, all the 10 perfection to become Sammasambuddha. And this is a very extensive teaching. That's why, like I explained earlier on, the sainthood way is relatively, I use the word, easy. And it's also possible to realize it within short period of training. Some of the cultivators, they can do it quite fast. During the Buddha's time, you heard of many becoming Arahant or enlightened beings upon hearing the sutta, especially the fire sermon. And you also have many other Charaka story that also mention a lot about this. So the sainthood way, you only need to stabilize your awareness, your sati, your mindfulness within. Then from there, you silence your mind and make use of the sati or mindfulness awareness nature within to cultivate, to develop the stability of daily mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Means, train your mind to be mindful and stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is constantly meditative. And that meditation as taught by the Buddha is none other than the Noble Eightfold Path or the Fourth Noble Truth Proclamation. So if you can do these two and you stick on to it, you will have heedfulness. Then like the Buddha said, if you do that, you will realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana. That is basically Dhammapada verse 23, which the Buddha said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. Yeah. So all these are very clear in the preliminary teaching or provisional teaching. But when it comes to the Bodhisattva way, you have to go beyond the sainthood way. You have to not only stabilize the awareness nature, you have to locate the gateway to that nature. And when you locate the gateway, then a lot of things will happen. Then the internal movement or transformation, that is the one that paved the way for a lot of things to happen and the possibility of fulfilling your four basic vows of the Bodhisattva leading to supreme enlightenment, Sammasambuddhahood, become possible. But it may take a long time. Yeah. So as far as the Bodhisattva who go on this path is concerned, they got no problem with time, where they will know time, existence, and life is part of samsara activity. And once you go this way, you can develop clear understanding of what this thing is. Then you will not be deceived and deluded by it. Then you can just go this way without hesitation. Then you will realize what the Buddha taught. That's why the title of this sutta is the Wonderful Dhamma. Wonderful Dhamma is when you realize this teaching through emptiness, you will realize wonderful existence. Then life becomes meaningful, wonderful, amazingly beautiful. That's why it's a very unique teaching. So there, just now in the sutta, is mentioned how the Buddha initially taught the Four Noble Truths and the Three Turning in the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Then now they move on to the final phase of the teaching, which is the Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. So this is the explanation. We go back to the commentary. I will read through again, then you will understand. Because it is so wonderful. Oh, sorry. Up there. It is the Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, the King of Dhammas. It is supreme, and it is nothing, sorry, and there is nothing superior to it. In this sutta, the Buddha taught ultimate wisdom. See, here, the word ultimate wisdom is very important for seeking provisional wisdom. The sainthood way until arahantship, these are the provisional wisdom. Why is the word provisional used? It's like in our daily activity or communication. We all use the word initial teaching or provisional teaching. Yeah. Because we need to teach this before we can teach the ultimate or more detailed type of wisdom. So initial and provisional are the base that we need to teach. Like when we are going through our education, we need to initially go through primary education, learn the basic of that education system. If it's taught in certain language, we need to learn the language. Then need to learn how to understand the basic alphabet. For English, is the alphabet A to Z. Then we also need to know the five vowels that enable us to form words. Then apart from that, the others are called consonants. Then we need to form words. Then use that word to construct sentences. Then from there, paragraph. Then communicate, study, and do all those things. And this is what education is. So teaching is the same. When they know this, they have the basic already. Then you teach them knowledge, because teaching, if it's not spiritual, it's technical, it's literature and all those things. And these are all topics, education. But when it comes to spiritual, it's no longer thought-based. Of course, a lot of people will fall into thought-based learning. They use the thought as an instrument. But spiritual, especially for the Dhamma, you need to realize the teaching which the Buddha called the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So you cannot use thought as an instrument to actually learn this spiritual teaching or the Dhamma. That's why the emphasis is on sati, mindfulness, leading to heedfulness or awareness-based meditation. So when you are aware, it means you have sati, you have clarity, you don't think, you are not clouded by the thought process, you are not lost in thought, you are not heedlessly thinking, reacting, stirring, affected by the emotion or whatever views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system that you hold on to within your memory, within your brain, activity. So this is where the big difference is. When you are not able to develop this awareness, sati, you cannot understand, you cannot see, because just like I explained, man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware within and you can observe what is going on and understand what is going on, or you are lost in thought. Lost in thought means what? Preoccupied with what you are thinking, your problem, your worry, your anxiety, your excitement, your emotion, your whatever fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, or insecurity. All these mind states are sankhara activity. These are the ones that clouds your nature, distract you, and condition you to grasp, cling, and hold onto all this creation by our mundane thinking or mind. So this is what the mundane mind is all about. Mano. And when you are so preoccupied with this since birth until now, and you use it for so many things in life, even in your study, in your daily activity or whatever thing you do, most of the time you use your thought, you are lost in thought. Some have insomnia, cannot sleep. Then you try to train that mind by using the thought, by focusing, concentrating, or going to absorption. These are all conditioned state. This is not a free mind. That's why you cannot be in the state of sati or awareness to understand what is going on. If there is no silent mind to observe, you cannot understand. The thought cannot understand because the thought is limited. And the thought is limited by its own instrument. So that thought within that tiny space and its content cannot understand what is beyond his space. Of course, he can have knowledge of a lot of things, of the world and all those things, through memory and how to say. But it lacks the awareness to be aware of all the conditioning and how all this come to be. How you hold on to the memory, the accumulated experiences, good and bad, all of your knowledge, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, your phobia, everything. And how you accumulate them and create your own misery, suffering. And all this you cannot see where you lack sati, mindfulness. So the preliminary teaching is to let you understand this, then break free from sakkayadity, self-delusion, and the initial wisdom that develops to allow you to break free from ignorant avijja to become arahant. Once you can realize arahantaship means you understand what that form of mind is. You are not deluded by it. Then you will not grasp onto it, cling onto it, and hold onto it. Then you will also come to know there is another aspect of mind, which is your pure awareness nature. That is just aware. And that one is not a being, not a self. It cannot come out and live life. But they know with that, when they die, it ceases. The mind realizes itself and ceases. And you realize Nibbana, the unconditioned. Then because there is no more ignorance, no more rebirth consciousness to cause any more new becoming, you will not take birth like normal living being again. That's why the beauty of the Dhamma is it is so beautiful, so amazingly clear in the teaching, and it's so extensive. It cover from the source, the beginning, to the creation until living being become what they are, as they are now. Even us, human being, has become so lost and so sophisticated. So to realize all this, to understand all this, you need to silence your mind. Bring your phenomenal world of consciousness experience back to the mundane mind. Then when you know that from the mundane mind arise, which means you understand the basic teaching, like the Buddha said, under Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, he always used the word our mind, mano. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. What is the meaning? Here it means we have this mundane mind, the mano, which is the forerunner of all things, because this is the one that started everything. All of creation starts from there. And this mano, the mundane mind, they can only arise when you have a form of mind to come and take birth. Avahika. So because of that, the Buddha knew there is a fire aggregate there. You have a physical body that has the senses. Then you have the consciousness that is trapped inside the mind. And the mind got four more aggregates: feeling, perception, activity of mind, mental state, mental intention, and the content of conscience, everything that the mind can do. And the mind is also capable of being conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. And through this mindfulness, we can observe and understand clearly how we function as a human being through our senses. Without our senses, there can be no life. What is life? To have life means to be able to be conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. These are the six senses that can give rise to a respective six type of sense of consciousness that allow us to know the world, to interact with the world, to experience the world. Take for example, seeing consciousness and hearing consciousness. These two are very beautiful, very important. As I said, the beauty of life, we can experience the amazing beauty of sight and sound. So sight and sound is really an amazing gift. And there is so much beauty in life when you can experience the pristine beauty and wonders of existence. All of phenomena within our existence, we can only come to know them through our consciousness. That's it. That's why without the senses, without the mundane mind making contact, senses cannot trigger our consciousness. But because we have that, that's why it triggers. Yeah. And this is how the mundane mind, through consciousness, created the phenomenal world of consciousness. And the Buddha say our five aggregate, he gave analogy. The first aggregate, the physical form or the mental form, is it? It's like our form when you wash clothing or what, the soap form appear very solid, but over time it is actually form. The wind blow gone, no more. Yeah. Then feeling is like a bubble pop gone. We are feeling, you feel it moment to moment. It arises and it passes away. Yeah. Then perception is like a mirage, like in the desert. From far, the mirage creates the false perception, like there is a pond of water or lake or oasis. But you go near, it's not there. In fact, all of our mental perception is like that. It's just an image, but we thought it's real. We translate it into things that we see, we hear, we smell, we taste, and we can experience it. It's like very real, like within our this house of mind. Yeah? You open your eye, all this color, shape, and form within, even this table, my voice, the mic, the TV screen, everything, and also whatever flooring or aircon or lighting that you see, they are like very real. You can really touch them, very solid. Yeah. But do you know how you know them? You know them through perception. It's just an image in your brain, literally inverted. But you cannot see because you lack mindfulness. That's why with mindfulness, you can see the unreality of all this creation manifested by mind through consciousness. So all this is what sati is all about, mindfulness is all about. Otherwise, you will be holding on to a lot of knowledge, concept, idea. Then all the words that arise through the mundane creation. And two words, concept, idea, the mundane mind divide and create disagreement, conflict, war, duality problems. That's why our world becomes so chaotic, with so much problem, so much issue. If your human mind is all using thought, mundane thinking, we are knowledge in the guise of, they don't use the word wisdom. They use the word very smart, very intelligent, or very cunning. And sometimes they use very highfalutin professional words, like they give you the title professor, doctor of philosophy, PhD, or master degree, or graduate with first class honors, second class honors, so called. Then they create special award. All this is actually pointing towards the achievement of the thought process. But spiritually, there is not much appreciation in that field. And spiritual understanding is like quite barren within the human race, sad to say that. Not many people have wisdom, but a lot of them have a lot of knowledge. They are very smart. They are very intelligent and honestly. But when it comes to spiritual understanding, if you look around, you hardly really can find. So all this is what that teaching is all about. Why the Buddha is so unique, why his teaching is so special and so unique. It's because of the enlightenment, the awakening through the long period of cultivation that they have developed. Although, according to the Buddha, enlightened beings are a lot. But Samasambuddha also a lot. But we are talking over a long period of time. But the numbers are very rare compared to the numbers of beings. The enlightened ones are very rare. Very, very rare. But during the time of the Buddha, when the Sasana is still very strong, especially during the time of the Buddha in the first few hundred years, I think there are still a lot of enlightened beings at that time. But as time passes by, we see a trend which is very strange. I always share with Kamita. If the teaching that has been passed on is still the authentic true teaching, then like science, once they have breakthrough and progress, they will progress very fast. And a lot of scientists are becoming more and more clever, more and more smart. And they discover more things, and they actually bring for a lot of progress within their own field, technology wise. You call it the science and technology development, the digital age, and many other things. But when we look back at the spiritual thing, if it's also the correct and authentic one that fit to progress, then by now we should have more and more enlightened beings. But how come we are not seeing all those things? And certain book even wrote that nowadays you are very lucky you can even find one Sotapanna around our first stage of sainthood. To them it's like the Sasana has deteriorated until you can hardly find even a first stage of sainthood. So it points towards one thing, that what has been passed down and popularly accepted and believed in may no longer be the authentic true teaching as when the Buddha was around. Yeah, when the Buddha was around, there are so many Jataka stories and proof that enlightened beings are everywhere. And there is like so many of them, and so easy to awaken to even lay people becoming Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahantashi. So many of them. But why are we not seeing them? Yeah. So these are the things that cultivate all the way should be able to come to their own conclusion, or what I should say, understanding. If that is the case, then you should explore some other means of understanding. Now, if what you have been doing for the past 10, 20, 30, 40 years doesn't bring about much changes in your own personality, character, and understanding of the teaching, then something must be wrong with the thing that you have been taught or practicing or cultivating. Is it sati based, awareness based? Does it lead to heedfulness? If it's not, then very obvious that according to the sutta, like the Buddha said after his passing away, look towards the sutta, is it? And the Vinaya means the Patimokkha, the monk's precepts, or nun's precept, and the teaching, or the sutta, the discourse of the Buddha, or answer. If you cannot find them in any of these, then the Buddha say it's not what he teach. Yeah. So, heedfulness, Dhammapada verse 21-23 is in the sutta. That's why it's so clear. And the Buddha said it so clearly. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, and the heedless are as if dead. So if that is the case, then you have to start from heedfulness. You have to understand what heedfulness is. Then from Dhammapada verse 23, you work on it. Are you ever mindful? Are you constantly meditating? You cannot be heedful in the midst of life. You don't stand a chance. That's why I always say, stability of mindfulness leading to heedfulness is very important. Without heedfulness, if you cannot have the stability of daily mindfulness leading to ability to be heedful in the midst of life, you are as if dead. You are like the Buddha said, the heedless eyes, it takes. Spiritually, you don't stand a chance. That's why the whole training, work on the sati, the mindfulness, stabilize it, and use it to cultivate the daily mindfulness, leading to the direct seeing, the awakening, and all these things. Okay, we go back to the sutta. Okay, I'll read on that. The next part of the sutta says, because this Dhamma is deep and recondit. You know what is the meaning of this recondit? How many of you know the meaning? Jinhao, can you check? Google. What is it? I think it's like something very rare, seldom spoken of. Isn't it? Recondit. What is the meaning? Definition. Ah, little known, correct? Ah, very deep. So now you got the Mandarin translation. Yeah. It's something like very difficult to comprehend and seldom understood. As like the Dhamma is deep and recondite. Few are those who can hear the word, believe it is not so good, can understand it. But it is a correct word. You know, most people don't believe the Dhamma. Do you all realize that? Not to say Dhamma. When you tell them, got karma on, uinko on, he don't listen to it. Karma also they cannot accept. You ask them to accept the Buddha Dhamma. You say, hey, no you, hey, no me. Everything not real. Then they turn around and ask you, rather your money give to me. Because when you don't understand, you have all this type of thought-based knowledge. That's why that one can make you deluded. Then it can trap you. You get yourself more and more entangled. So here the word, the Dhamma is deep and recondite, is very true. Few are those who can understand it or believe it. So unless you have affinity with the Triple Gem, the chances are you will not be interested in the Dhamma. And you are not interested, chances are you cannot understand. And most people, not until they get into trouble, they won't look for religion or solution. Then when they get into trouble, anything you tell them also, they say, yeah, I will believe, I will follow. And that's how they get themselves entangled more and more. 临时抱佛脚, like the Mandarin saying, I have to learn that phrase. It's last minute only. You want to learn the Dhamma and all those things. And hope for the best, the blessing. Actually, the world is not like that. So here I'll read through the commentary first, then I'll explain further. So according to Xuanwang's commentary, he said, the Dhamma of the wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta, is extremely profound and most wonderful. Very true, the word. Extremely profound, this sutta. Means the whole sutta that share and teach you about the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way, the supreme vehicle teaching, is extremely profound and most wonderful. Very few can believe in this wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta, but it is so wonderful. Most people do not have the wisdom to understand why it is so amazingly wonderful. Unable to understand it, they disbelieve it. That's why Xuanhua also got it right. For example, over 1,000 years ago in China, there were flying machines. When the Yellow Emperor was battling with Xiu, there were already flying machines. That one, I think, cut off your head. I don't know what already fate here or. The Yellow Emperor also invented the compass. Qi Yu once released a toxic fog that impaired the imperial troops' vision in the battle. But with his invention, the compass, the Yellow Emperor could tell the four directions. However, if you had told someone 1,000 years ago that in the future there will be aeroplanes flying in the sky before telling them rockets, nobody would believe you. Impossible, they will say. Like we all heard, iron bird can fly. The moment they hear this iron or metal, it's so heavy. So nobody believe, unless you know physics, physicists. Because we are engineers, we study this aerodynamic or other thing, then Bernoulli's principle, obviously. Then we know how to create the upthrust and lift it up and make it fly. So heavy, yet can fly. That's why science and technology, engineering, they are beautiful. They would have said, how could people sit in an aeroplane and fly in the sky? Absurd. They would not have believed you. Why would they doubt you? Because it would have sounded too fanciful, not fanciful, fantastic. Before Columbus discovered America, suppose you have gone around and say, I know there is a continent called America. I know where it is. It is rich with gold and other resources. It is the best. It has everything. Nobody would have believed you. Ultimately, did it exist or not? It did. But for the most part, people would not have believed it. if they have been told about it. No one believed its existence until it was discovered by Columbus. It did not spring out from nowhere, but people could not believe it until after it was discovered. When it was discovered, it did not suddenly spring into existence. It has been there all along. This one reminds us of our nature. It has been there all along. You didn't discover it. You didn't realize it. You cannot be aware of it. That's the problem. Then the other example that I can think of is, well, when I was young, I liked geography. Yeah. And the question is, if somebody in the olden day were to tell you the earth is round, you will say the fellow is really mad, crazy. But they got a lot of evidence to show that the earth is round. And not only that, when they sail around the globe in the opposite direction at the end of the earth, then they realize it is round. Then now with science and technology, then you realize round and yet can spin on its own axis and go around the sun. And all the water in the ocean cannot overflow. They cannot understand. But to them is, they only have the knowledge of what they are taught tell them. Whatever water finds its own level. That is where you don't know science, you don't know physics, you don't know gravity, and you don't understand what atmosphere is. And how the whole thing can just rotate on them. And inside the earth, ground, a lot of molten lava moving inside that. Only the surface that has the land and the ocean, they are the solid masses. So all these are very difficult for people without understanding, especially ancient people, to have a understanding of what this thing is or even believe what it is, especially the earth is round. And all this has been established. And the other more amazing thing is they always say our earth is the center of the universe. Oh, like we all very important. Human being is the greatest. Everything evolves around the earth. Then they realize we are so insignificant. One of the third planet from this sun, you know. And the sun is like any other star. Any of these stars that you observe in the sky, they can be either bigger or smaller, or the numbers are countless. And there are so many of them, no? Billions and billions and billions in the whole existence. No? So you think you're very significant? You are nothing, actually. Then the worst is, within this planet, now we got 7 over billion population. You only one of the 7 billion. You think you're very special. Then include the non-human. Human beings number in nothing. It's like a speck of dust. So all this is the scale to which your mundane thinking cannot comprehend. You need wisdom. You need awareness. You need that type of understanding to understand the cosmos, the universe, and all those things. Okay, we go on to the sutta. We read a bit more there. I try to finish this. The wonderful Dhamma Lotus Sutta say that everyone can become a Buddha. All living beings can become Buddhas in the future. Hardly anyone believe it. How can I become a Buddha? It's ridiculous to think that all living beings can become Buddha. Most people simply cannot believe it. Can human beings become Buddha? If not, then how did Sakyamuni Buddha realize Buddhahood? Sakyamuni Buddha was also a human being. We too are humans. However, we have not cultivated as vigorously as Sakyamuni Buddha. And so we have not yet become Buddhas. If we had undertaken the same ascetic practices as Sakyamuni Buddha, we would have become Buddha already. We haven't. Why haven't we become Buddhas? Because we have been lazy and have not cultivated the whole same path Oh, wholesome, one word. Diligently. They're not cultivated. The wholesome, one word. Sorry. Path, diligently. Why did Sakyamuni Buddha become a Buddha? Sakyamuni Buddha become a Buddha where he diligently cultivated the perfection of the whole path. There is no other ingenious way to do so, to do it. It's like traveling. You want to go somewhere, you have to start walking, or else you take a car, or a bus, a train, or a plane. You have got to start moving. If you just say, I'm going to New York, but don't take action, you will never get there. You have got to set yourself in motion. Sakyamuni Buddha knew that he could become a Buddha, so he began cultivating the path to Buddhahood, and ultimately realized Sammasambuddhahood. We are still an ordinary Puttujana, but we think it is great to be who we are now. Look at me, I'm a human being, I'm smart. We have huge ego, even greater than the Mount Sumeru. We may think highly of ourselves, although our actions are not lofty. In fact, we generally behave in a base and lowly manner. We do not apply ourselves to getting rid of greed, hatred, and delusion, the three words, which are base and low. We do not take our own potential or Buddhahood seriously. Hence, confirming the sutta's word, few are those who can believe it. We are most people, even a lot of cultivators, they used to tell me, well, Matthew, I can become a Arya, cukup lah, enough. I already very happy, very content. Yeah, I sure become Arahant. Still, I sure become Arahant. So how to become Arahant? Because he still believe he exists. There is an atta, an entity there. This is not what the cultivation is all about. So all this understanding, as you progress along the path of Dhamma, you develop clear understanding that the form and mind is not you, not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to, and grasp onto, and believe that it is you. That's why the I, the me, and the personality, the ego, they are false, deluded. When you deludedly believe in it, suffering will be the result. There is no such thing as a permanent unchanging entity that transmigrate and continue life after life. No such thing. Because we live in an existential world, conditional world, where everything is dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal phenomena. That's why the form and mind is just a karmically conditioned form and mind. And it's just like any other phenomenon, karmically conditioned out from our karmic nature to come. That's how living being comes to be. Human beings come to be. And with this understanding, you will not be deluded anymore. But this understanding is not a knowledge. You cannot read and believe you know. Cannot. You need to awaken to it. You need to develop the training of the mind to be aware. Then through that silence, that deep stability of awareness, you suddenly realize it, awaken to it. Awaken to the universal characteristics of all phenomena. That everything within the conditioned world are conditioned number. They exhibit the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Then from there, you liberate your mind, transcend birth and death. Then you continue with the cultivation and the perfection. And this is what the supreme vehicle teaching is, the Buddha Dharma, which is so beautiful, so wonderful. That's why the title is Wonderful Dharma, Lotus Flower Sutta. It comes from the Sutta description. True emptiness is wonderful existence. That's why wonderful Dhamma is wonderful existence. Yeah. So the Mahayana call it Sen Kong Miao Yu. It's within true emptiness when you realize it, existence becomes beautiful. Miao, wonderful. So life becomes meaningful, beautiful, and wonderful, amazingly wonderful. And it is really something that you can understand. It's a living reality. That's why I wait for the new book. I have to finish off that thing before we have our second session. The new book, hopefully, after China Dreamer, we can get it out. Yes, Bertil has done his part. Now I'm checking through. And once I check through, I think by the next today or so, I will tell him it's okay. Then he can start print for me the first hard copy before we check through and send it to the printer. Yeah. So I would like to take the opportunity here to thank all those who have helped make this book possible, especially those who have volunteered and helped us do the transcript, proofreading, and also formatting and whatever role you may have played in making this new book possible. The new book is very special, also very unique. Once it come out, you read through, you will understand, you will develop a lot of joy. Well, that book, the title is Ultimate Realization or Enlightenment to Transcend Life. It's based on my unique code, 105. And that book, we have done it out quite well. When you receive the book, hopefully you can appreciate and see for yourself whether it's really unique or not. Well, a lot of thought has been put into, and also a lot of input from Kanyamita. Even those who work on the cover itself, took them quite a while to evolve it. Of course, the content, everything is so beautiful. And the English has been improved a lot. You read through, you will know. Now the awareness-based nature or awareness-based meditation is like very easy to understand. Even for cultivators all the way who are not serious, when they read, because the English now is so clear, it's like they get interested in some of it. It's so easy. Actually, based on what is being described out now, the English has made it so interesting that anybody who shows some slight interest in understanding this, they will have the understanding that this is easy to do, not difficult. Like what I mentioned last time, when you understand, it's very easy. When you don't understand, it can be very, very tough and very difficult. Why? Your thought-based and awareness-based are world up. And now the awareness base has been explained until it's like crystal clear. That thing inside, nobody there to describe it and explain it, what that thing is. Last time they leave that word as mystery. Why? Because they use the word Buddha nature, Nibbana. All this is so abstract. So how can people understand what these words are? That's why now we have all this done up. Hopefully, the new book, together with our earlier book, The Path to Nibbana, you read these two, you will have a lot of understanding. And these two are very unique, where they come from unique code. And a lot of the Bodhisattva way, Supreme Vehicle teaching are inside that. And the coming book is most complete. it describes a lot of things there. So hopefully it can benefit more and more gyrometers and even cultivators of the way. And put for the causes and conditions for more cultivator or the way to awaken, to develop this understanding. Okay, so we will stop here. I will mark this page. Okay, we are on page 567. Okay, now is second session. Huh? Meditation reporting followed by Q&A.
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kayana Mita. 大家晚上好。然后我要 share 我的一个小小的经历，那个是我在星期六上两个星期六，我要去我的 farm 之前的一个，就是 you know like 我很早的就起来了
啊。
我六点我就要去我的 farm， 但是我四点多就起来了。So 那还有一个小时，那我就打开我的书橱，我就拿了楞严经出来看。
哦，啥的？
当我读到那个 page 12的时候，就是它里面的一些内容，就触了我的心一下。
哦，啥的？
就是他就是大意是说，众生因为就是每天就是不把那个真心的停留在那个妄想里面，所以一直的轮回，
对对对，
一直的在什么的转来转去，
对对对对，
他就触了我一下，感觉上好像有点想哭，但是然后我又继续在念的。然后念到大概46 page 46，这样我就停了，因为大概已经六点。然后我就去我的 farm。就当时我回来的时候我很累，大概三四点，然后我就躺下去，so called lying down and then at the same time resting。
对。
So 然后过了大概一个小时，我就 aware 到我就是整个 observation， 就是说大意是这样，它就是从我的 awareness observation， 然后到我感觉到有一堆很像红红色的东西，然后我的 mundane mind 要去抓，然后那个很痛苦的那个感觉，然后就抓又抓不到，那当我要真正一扑下去的时候，然后你就是已经出来你的 consciousness， 你就是原来是 like 你跳出来的时候，你就是 like 一个空这样，你 know，
对对对，
一个 very shocking， 就是你很吃惊的，哇，我又没有做什么其实，然后我就时间到我要准备去吃饭，然后我就该做什么就吃饭啊，然后就 continue 我的 activity， 但是到晚上我就他自然而然的就去那个 reflection 就出来，然后就就是说我就明白，我突然明白到好像就是说他从那个 awareness 然后 manifest whatever 那个我们的 mundane mind 出来的时候啊，其实全部是那个唯心所造的 一个 image， 就是一个 bubble pop 这样子了，那就是那出来的刹那就好像一个 bubble pop
对对对
这样办了，然后你就觉得啊，
就好像生灭生灭这样
子，
没有每一个念头就是生起来了就灭掉 ，then you follow by another one， 它不停的在那边不是说转变了。The thought process continue because of that conditioning from the memory, the views, opinion, the mundane activity. That's why this habitual flow, I call it the flow, not easy to root out. Not until your wisdom become very stable, then your understanding is also there. Then that nature that has the wisdom and the understanding They can just laugh at it, or just silent and allow it to be. Then you understand a lot of things, like what Alicia saw inside the head, try to hold a crab. The mundane my activity is like that. But then when you come out of it, you suddenly realize that it's just like the illusionary conscious moment. Just moment to moment, it arise and pass away, arise and pass. And these are all what we call conscious moment of life. As I, in the new book, I wrote that the three period of time, past, present, and the future. Which of them is the reality? So as we all know, the past is already gone, so can never be the reality. We are, it's already the past. Future has yet to come, also not a reality, because future is something hasn't happened, so not a reality. So the only reality in life is the present moment, where everything arises and passes away. But how stable is the present moment? The moment we talk about it, that moment is already gone. That's why split second is the end gone. Split second. And moment to moment, life passes by. And yet, that is the only reality. You know? So how real can life be? Because the present moment awareness is just that moment to moment to moment. If you are aware, silent, you can be aware of what is happening. That's why those in city can see this very clearly. That's why I can explain to you the four circle formation. How from the mundane mind, you project and create the illusionary world through consciousness. Because the Buddha described consciousness as a magician. Magician means like an illusionist, create illusion for you to see. And this illusion comes from our senses, the consciousness that we create through contact. And the brain and the memory is the content of consciousness that we input. All the things that we accumulate there, which we develop through our views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, phobia, or whatever you accumulate, even your tradition, your knowledge, your education, and everything. You have a bundle of this memory, and you live according to this. That's why I say acting according to memory is not acting. These are all your rubbish accumulated. These are not wisdom. Mainly thought-based, knowledge-based. Then from here, you input your content and form that thought. And that thought, the moment it arises, it passes away. And another one arises and passes away. Then in between, there's a lot of stirring, agitation, the duality of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, all the various type of emotion, like fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamenting, whatever emotion. Of course, sometimes when you know how to meditate and relax and maintain, then you experience the quietness, the peacefulness, the bliss, the pity, the sukhang. All these are possible. These are mind state. But the problem is, without understanding, you will grasp and cling where you hold. Where these are the state of mind that the mundane mind creates for you to grasp and to cling. And most people like to cling on to happy feeling, pleasant feeling, nice feeling, like song earlier described in the last book. When we cling on to good meditation, we will also have problems. Because most people don't like bad meditation. They want to experience beautiful mind states. And they hold, they cling. But what you need to understand is when you completely silence your mind and develop the inner awareness, you can see very clearly the present moment, although it's the highest in life, is so unstable, so transient. And it come and it go, it come and it is the only reality. So how real can life be? That's why you know everything is not what living beings think. Empty nature existence. Yeah, everything is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. Like my teacher, Ajahn Chah, said, mighty nature ruling mind, following nature's law. And its operation can only be seen by the true cultivator or the way that is aware, mindful, silent. And that one can see clearly. That's why they were awakened to the universal characteristic. And they will develop the wisdom to break free from the sakkāyādiṭṭhi or self-delusion. Then they can awaken to the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And all this is what enlightenment is all about. When you awaken, you're no longer deluded, no more suffering. Then after that, when it stabilized, then one day, all this understanding reach a stability where the mind will enter into cessation on its own. It's the mind that realizes itself and sees. That's why the unconditioned Dhamma, the realization of Nibbana, can manifest. And when it manifests, only that form and mind that gone through that cessation can understand what it is when it come out again. Yeah. That's why that Dhamma is pacitang, can only be realized by the wise Ishwara themselves. If you are not the wise one, the cessation cannot happen, cannot occur. So that is how amazing and beautiful this teaching is all about. So what Alicia has gone through is good. Yeah. So all this will add up to the understanding. Okay, Alicia, 不错, sadhu.
对呀，不是就膝盖，不是就讲的那个 three universal characteristic。我 reflect 回去，我在里面都有看到，就是你真的好像明白到，哇，真的是一切唯心造，真的一切唯心造。
你能够悟到的在里面，
对。
because you see the manifestation. That's why everything is mind make. Mind make are the 一切唯心造, 心造成的, created by the mind. Really true. Without the mental intention, without the sankhara activity, all this cannot arise. It arises because of sakkāyādiṭṭhi, sankhara activity. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. And when mind arise, all things arise. That's why everything is mind make. Mind make are there. 一切唯心造, the Mandarin translation. 心造成的. So all this creation come about through the thought process that has the mental intention, like Brother Song last time shared. He said it's the mental intention that go in that decide the significance of that thought, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome, or whether it's a pure thought or a deluded thought. So all these are Dhamma that can be realized and understood by the cultivator of the way. Good, Alicia, huh? And they
对，还
continue.
有呢，就是这个 Surangama Sutta 真的很好，
Very
因为
powerful.
它是针对那个虚幻的一个 Sutta，
对。
我也没有想到，因为我只读了那个一点点，然后我是讲是因为当下我在读这个 Sutta 的时候，我会念南无楞严会上佛菩萨。
哇，杀掉，
那我念了3次，然后我把自己的麦 silent 下来，我才 continue，因为那个 sutta 前面他有教我们怎样的去念这个 sutta，就
对，
是你
楞
要
严咒啊，
对，你要进了你的就是身口意，然
呀，
后才去念，所以他给了我很大的 faith，因
杀
为
掉，
这个楞严咒真的非常 powerful。
呀呀呀。
还有就是那个上个星期二，我在 Brazil 这边，不是开会，然后我们去吃饭，
对对
然
对。
后我们回来就是 start class 的时候，当我一进去 meditation 的时候，
嗯。
我的就是我的就一直 stay 在我的 heart，然后
嗯，
它就
是的。
开始在 vibrate，然后
嗯。
有一点点的 movement。然后我发觉到我的 awareness 一直 stay 在那边的，
啥都，very
然后到最后 gradual almost end 的时候，
good。
我 aware 到 something like，
嗯。嗯。
那个 awareness 好像慢慢慢慢 manifest 去怎样 go through 那个 thought
对
process，
对对，嗯，
然后
啥
我
都。
就 like 哇，I was like 哈 ，it's like so amazing，我觉得
Yeah, how the
哈，
creation happened？
这样都可以。
对，
It's
嗯、
like everything is really like，
then you can be at the moment of consciousness 哦，when 那个 consciousness 现前啊，then the moment of input of content 啊，before it go in 啊，you can be aware 哦，and you know what content is going in the moment，嗯、then how after that normal without this understanding of those things, without this mindfulness and wisdom, the mind will stir and react and do all sorts of funny things. Then it like move very fast on. They cannot follow on. But for us, it's like slow motion. Like you want to stay at the moment of contact. It stay there or no? It doesn't move on. That's why we call it the non-grasping aggregate. Then the feeling become like non-grasping. No like, no dislike. It's just like that. Then that whole movement of the five aggregate, you can be there at any one time you decide. At the moment of perception also, you want to know, the perception come out. You don't want to know, it's the pure awareness, the pure perception before the know. All this like very interesting. We show it to you. Then when you are in that state without the word, without the whatever sankhara aggregate, it's just the pure consciousness or the pure perception of that thing, which is called the reality. No labeling, no word, no concept, nothing. Then it can be that movement become very clear to you. That's why you can understand and awaken to all these type of things. It's not the thought anymore. That's why the awareness nature is something that cultivator of the way only can understand. But that thing is so much more deeper than the mundane thought process. The mundane thought process is really very gross, and I call it gross is because it's like in Hokkien, you go very forlorn. You know what it's forlorn? In Cantonese as well. Cholo, cholo, means not refined one, no, understand? Like, luanchuang, like, simply do thing one, based on the views, opinion, condition, they just move like that one, and they can become emotional, fearful, worry, anxiety. So all this mind state keep on haunting them one. Whereas the other one that is in the state of heedfulness, all these things no more there. That's why your mind is clear. That true mind, that silent mind, that clarity is different. That's why it's not lost in thought. That any movement, it knows. Any activity, it knows. That's why it's specific phenomenal awareness. It's with the awareness. Then if it wants to arise the perception to live life, to like explain thing or share or what, then it will do. It can do. Because this one has become different, non-grasping. The mundane mind no more. All this activity cannot arise anymore. And it's just the way it is. That's why you see things as they are so clearly. And everything is just the way it is. That's why later on when Alicia, they all, Ho Chang, they all, and some of the other cultivators, even Song, they all, they will understand what I meant. Then they realize that nature is so beautiful, so amazing, and is capable of so much thing. The understanding part and all those things, the awakening and the transformation from inside and all those things. That's why what the scientists lack is the understanding of what the awareness nature is. But they cannot meditate until that state. Otherwise, they can also create a science out of it. That's why now I try to put in the book the English language to simplify it so that cultivator of the way can understand. But these are simple English that can let you understand what this thing is. So all this, as you start to like seriously with the faith go in and develop the cultivation, you will progress very fast. You will transform very fast. And a lot of Kayamita has done it and has the ability to go into all this. That's why my nature rejoices. And now not only Kayamita, I realize a lot of outsiders, they haven't met me, but they listen. They can go and listen for 4 years or not 4 days or 4 months. There are quite a number, they say, I'll read you that book, the difference between awareness and consciousness. They say, yeah, I read that book already, or I heard that, I saw the video. And the video was 2019, coming to 5 years then. So all these are really happening is because those who are serious, they can listen attentively and understand. Then they follow the instruction. Then they appreciate. And they progress. Then they keep on listening. Just like what Song did every time. Listen. Then last time Alicia also said, poaching they all in video. A lot of them. When you become dead serious with the faith and understanding, all this can happen. Because the faith is the one that drives the virya. Then after that, the sati, all, they will fall into place. Then the silent mind, the stability of it. And from there, a lot of things will continue to manifest and happen. Then the progress will come. So all this, you must have the spiritual faculty, starting with faith. Then the virya will develop. Then you become serious. Then you cultivate non-stop throughout the day. Daily mindfulness. In fact, a lot of them through daily mindfulness, they progress. Alicia, let me continue.
Yeah, Brother Jill, 是 daily mindfulness, 对。其实我最近忽然发现，当我 读那个 whatever 文件的时候，我的 mind 是很 direct 的，很 clear 的在 read 和 be it like 做 reading 啊，还是什么，还是我在我的 Kayanupassana 都会很清晰，而且 most of the time 就是你的头脑里面会好像一片空白这样，对，没有思想，就偶尔想起要什么，要去做什么的时候，好像哎。 一刹那那个 moment 一过，你就想不起了的。对对对，because
it's not in the memory, because it's non-grasping. 要有那个因缘法，它才现出来。对，那有一个因缘，它又哎，你刚才应该要什么，这样就跳出来。That's why you recollect, then you will recall how you come to that moment. 所以有时候我会问你们, why did I come to this topic? It's because when I share that thing straight direct from my nature, it's not from the memory. Not from the memory, I cannot recall. Then when I cannot recall, doesn't mean that I don't know. That's why I ask you all, how did I come to here? The word how did I come to here is the condition that I need from you. Then the moment you mention that word, then I will recall it. But that was the condition that allowed me to continue that sharing to that point. That's why when you share without the memory, it becomes very different. It is either you know or you don't know. Because the Dhamma is like that, like I told Yuan Chan. But this is not a knowledge. You know. You cannot remember and store in the brain and then try to retrieve it and share and teach. It's not like that. That's why yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of attention, manasikara is attention. This wisdom is either you have it or you don't have it. You don't have it means it cannot come out and prompt you. But you have it, like Guanxing Lao Sang said, 什么是开悟? What is enlightenment? Sometimes the thing that happened already, that form and mind that go through the enlightenment process, he still doesn't know that that is the awakening and the enlightenment. But when he encounters a situation, that understanding manifests and he know what to do. That is wisdom, is it? 那才是智慧. That's why it's not from memory, not from knowledge. It's the understanding. When you encounter a situation, you just understand. No more delusion, nothing. There is no fear, nothing. No panic, nothing. You just look at the thing. And thing is just the way it is. You understand. Oh, that is the one that has the awakening and the wisdom. So it's very different. Good. Sadhu.
还有一个很小的 sharing, 我认为是很不错的一个, you know, 一个就是家里如果有什么你虽然有工人，但是你看到某一种事情，你看到某件事，你会很直接的都没有经过你的头脑，你会去处理。
Spontaneous, yeah.
因为如果我在那个thought里面，在哎为什么这样讲？
啊，对对对。
suffering
对对对,
了，对我而言,
because you go and wait, you go and wait, or Krishnamurti call it what? Measure or compare. You go and wait whether you should do or you should not do, means trying to make a choice and all that. But the spontaneous one is different or not? You just go and help out and do whatever that you need to do. Like sometimes certain things drop down, you will go and pick it up one. You no need to go and call the maid or one, you will clear it up. And unless it is evolving like broken glasses or what, then you will also know how to get the thing. Then if you have a maid, you can call the maid, come slowly, wear the shoe, everything, then clear it. Not an issue at all. Well, there is clarity, there is understanding, and you don't panic one. It happened already. No point getting angry and going and shout and blame people. No point. You need to resolve it. Because that is the reality. That's why she will go through all this and develop all the deeper understanding of life. Sadhu, 很好.
有，Brad就刚才有讲到，我们在这个世界上，我们其实是很微妙、很微小的。对。 在我的学习佛法的过程里面，我经常都会就是一直在 remind 我自己，我一定要把我自己，把我自己就是说越小就越好。其实因为这个是锻炼我们要去把我们的傲慢心啊，
对对对对，
把我们的所谓的自我心啊，全部都慢慢的一。 一点一点的去把它抹掉，所以我很感恩 Brother Duo 这10多年来的 guide 和还有佛菩萨的 guide， 还有卡拉米达，我真的时常都会怀着一个感恩的心，因为我真的是太幸运，真的，因为没有佛法，我根本不能走出来，
对对对。
就是活得这么坦然和自在，
对，萨德，
这个就是我今晚上的一点点的分享。
萨德，萨德，萨德，萨德，Let's rejoice. 萨德，萨德，萨德，Very good. Very good sharing tonight. So hopefully all this can give rise to better understanding and faith for Ayamita and cultivator of the way, to develop more and more faith towards the cultivation. and develop the progress fast. Very good, Sadhu. Anybody else want to add anything?
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and fellow Kayamitas, brother and sister in the Dharma. In due essence of time, I just want to have a quick one
Can?
and express my gratitude and thank you to Brother Teo. It's been 6 years that I've been talking for
Six
6 years.
years.
So time passed really fast.
Very fast.
But this time was actually very fruitful. Very fruitful. From the very beginning when I attended, I didn't really understand a lot of things.
At that time,
But I
yeah,
just continue, determine, come whenever I can. And especially the recording, it
Help
really
a
helped.
lot.
Because due to work. So I listen it when I'm driving in the jam or at home. So it has helped me to understand a lot of
Yes,
things.
sadhu, very good.
Introduction to the Dharma, which is the medicine.
The medicine.
Medicine, the noble truth. So that's what I feel like saying, sharing. Thank you very much.
Sadhu, let us rejoice.
Ah,
Sadhu, sadhu,
ah,
sadhu.
desa.
Very good. Okay, exactly 10:30. We can end. Let us share merits. Then we have the closing puja and we end.
Sita
Akasatta
Cebumata
Cebumata
Devanaga
Mahindika
Mahindika
Punyantang
Punyatang
Anumoditva
Chirang
Chirang
Rakkhantu
Rakkhantu
Lokasasana
Lokasasana Ittavattha Chamehi
Sampadang
Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sappasampati Siddhya Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyasinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatkalina sasasampati hetuja. Hito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mamebala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we shall end the whole Zoom session. Thank you so much. Sadhu.